Another subject, financial, of course, is the jobs report for the month of May that was released by the Labor Department on Friday. Now, this is an interesting item that I do want to mention because there is some variance here, although it's very hard to predict the variance. And that has to do with the first, especially with the first day of the month. Now, of course, Friday, June 1st, was the first day of the new month. You cannot always be certain that you will get a Labor Department jobs report when Friday is the first day of the month. Sometimes you do, and sometimes it's postponed a week. This time we did. It was Friday, June 1st, and the Labor Department got the report out there. And it showed an increase of 223,000 jobs for the month of May, with 218,000 of those jobs in the private sector. The rest were government jobs. The unemployment rate declined 0.1%, and now stands at 3.8%. Now, if you take a look at the Federal Reserve, they will define full employment as anything below 4.5%. Well, we're at 3.8%, which continues to reflect the tightening of the labor market. Average hourly earnings increased 0.3% for the month of May, which, by the way, is about a 3.5% annual rate if you take that one-month figure and span it out over 12 months. Right now, though, using the actual numbers, the year-over-year gain in average hourly earnings is 2.7%. That's just 0.2% above the annual consumer price index figure that we have right now of 2.5%. And this is how you can compute the real wage gain for the past year. You take the nominal increase in average hourly earnings of 2.7% and you subtract out the consumer price index headline figure of 2.5%. 2.7 minus 2.5 equals 0.2%, which is 1/5 of 1%. That is the real wage gain over the past year, measured in average hourly earnings and adjusted for inflation, 0.2%. Now, the average work week came out unchanged and remains at 34.5 hours. The labor force participation rate continues to decline. It was down 0.1%. This is the third consecutive month that the labor force participation rate has declined. It's now down to 62.7%. And what this means is there are close to 96 million people that are not in the labor force. That is an all-time historic record. The employment situation is bleeding into the underemployment rate. That includes the long-term unemployed and the part-time looking for full-time unemployed. And that rate is down to 7.6%. It decreased 0.2% in the month of May. Now, we know that the U.S. has an aging population. We know now that the birth rate is at a 30-year low, and we're certainly seeing the increase in the number of retirements in the baby boomer class. One of the interesting things about the wage gain numbers, wage gains in the financial sector made up almost half of the overall wage increases, even though the finance sector jobs make up only about 10% of the total jobs figure. So a disproportionate amount of the wage gain went into the financial sector, to put it mildly. Obviously, lots of volatility in the stock market this week. We had two up days. We had two down days following the Memorial Day holiday on Monday. And just a lot of volatility, down Tuesday, up Wednesday, down Thursday, up Friday, back and forth. At the end of it all, For the week, the S&P was up 0.5%, and the Dow Industrials were down 0.5%. Obviously, investors are trying to evaluate a number of things going out there that are very important. One of them is the enormous increase in yields that we have seen in the sovereign debt of Italy this week. Also, investors evaluating the imposition of the steel and aluminum tariffs by the United States against the European Union, Canada, and Mexico, and this adds fuel to protectionist concerns that have been out there this year. As for the Federal Open Market Committee, the monetary policy arm of the Federal Reserve, they are going to reconvene on the 12th and 13th of June, a two-day pajama party overnighter, and that will finish with a media conference by Fed Chair Jerome Powell on the 13th, and we're expecting another interest rate increase to be announced on the 13th at that meeting. We should also note that the low unemployment figures that we now have, this 3.8 number, they do have a strong correlation with the latter stages of an economic cycle. I mean, this 3.8% number is really way down there on an historical basis. In fact, this is absolutely fascinating. The last time that U.S. unemployment was 3.8%, the 10-year Treasury yield was around 6.5%. That's a big difference because the 10-year Treasury right now is about 2.78%. So consider it was around 6.5% last time we had unemployment down in this level, which would be back around the year 2000. It has not been up to that level of 6.5% any time since that occurrence back in the year 2000. And by the way, the federal funds rate back then got up to a peak of 6.5% as well when the unemployment was 3.8, which was the last time it was there back in the year 2000. The stock market, you might recall, peaked back in the first quarter of year 2000, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average topped in January of that year, with the rest of the market topping out in March of the year 2000. So we're now in an economy where we are seeing moderate growth. The second quarter looks better than the first quarter. Remember, the first quarter is currently at 2.2 based on the first revision, 2.2 annual growth in real GDP. But the second quarter is looking better than the first quarter. I'm expecting a higher number in the second quarter for real GDP when that number is initially announced in late July. The employment figures in the U.S. now have increased for 92 consecutive months. That's 7 years, 8 months. That's the longest streak in U.S. history. 92 consecutive months of employment growth. A total of 8.7 million jobs were lost in the last recession. Since then, 18.9 million jobs have been added. The new jobs figures peaked in the first quarter of 2015, 3.5 years ago, at a pace of over 3 million jobs annually. And we're now seeing a reduction in the pool of available workers in the U.S., and that certainly has an impact on the jobs numbers as well. Workers are certainly treading water in terms of their real income, with that average hourly earnings figure just 0.2% above the CPI, the Consumer Price Index inflation, on a year-over-year basis. Companies are certainly complaining about the shortage of qualified workers. However, wage growth adjusted for inflation remains relatively quiet. If we see wage growth accelerate, the Fed has the option of increasing interest rates faster in order to ward off inflation fears. and the wage increase figures certainly remain under the microscope at the Federal Reserve. Hey, we've come a long way from back in 2008. Remember, we were losing over 600,000 jobs a month during that last recession. And then things started to turn around in 2009. The economy started growing again. It's been growing at a moderate pace ever since, in the low twos, ever since, on an average annual basis in real terms.